This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. Modern agriculture faces challenges like climate change and resource scarcity. Innovative techniques are maximizing productivity while minimizing environmental impact. That's the introduction to permaculture by Our Global Family Farm. The farm is a permaculture demonstration farm in a corner of Slow City Farm in San Luis Obispo. I had no idea what permaculture was, so I met up with permaculture design activator Trees Lees to connect, explore, and discover the whole systems thinking practice of permaculture.
Hello, my name's Teresa, or Tree is what my nickname is. And I'm managing a parcel of land out here at City Farm called Our Global Family Farm. And I'm doing it in a regenerative way. It's actually in a permaculture way, which is an example of agroforestry or growing trees, which is a food forest.
So what do those two words mean?
Agro means agriculture, and forestry is trees, and you put the two together, and that's what the food forest is. So it has fruit trees, as well as berries and vines and vegetables and herbs and flowers all together.
You said regenerative agriculture and permaculture. What are those?
So regenerative agriculture is the term that's used these days beyond organic and beyond sustainability, which is kind of maintaining or sustaining. But regenerative is we are regenerating the soils and our communities. We're adding back to the community and the soil community as well. So it's a term that's used now across the nation for people that are doing regenerative ag, or people that are minimizing soil disturbance, maintaining living roots, which means leave the roots underground. You can chop off at the ground, but don't dig them up. So we don't use tractors also. So regenerative ag is no-till and leaving the roots in, keep the soil covered, integrate animals, and plant a diverse crops. So how you can get certified organically, you can also get certified regenerative ag.
And then what does the word permaculture mean?
Permaculture is a combination of the two words, permanent and culture. Think of it as indigenous cultures meet modern culture. I focus on the word culture a lot out at Global Family Farm. I call it that because we look at food cultures from around the world. We are inviting multicultural appreciation, cultural diversity, and biodiversity, and to have a world where we care for the earth, we care for people, and we care for our future. That's what permaculture is. It's based on these three ethics. And it also has the basis of ecosystem management. Permanent, meaning you're creating a whole ecosystem that will thrive over a long period of time. And so that's why they use the word permanent. Sustainable is referring more to like it can last and be maintained, but regenerative and permaculture is indefinitely. So it's even longer lasting than organic or sustainable ag.
Can you show me what makes your farm different?
Okay. It's an agriculture ecosystem intended to be sustainable and self-sufficient. So what I'm doing here is like a homesteading. This farm scale is like your home scale. You can have your house surrounded by edible landscaping. So that's really what this amounts to. In the middle, I have like a little shelter that would represent a house. And then around it, we have all the edible plants. We do crop rotation, always putting things in a new spot. We don't grow the same thing over and over and go over in the same spot. We are using a permaculture design, again, called a food forest. And this particular food forest, our Global Family Farm, is based on the four directions. Take the idea of the globe, the four corners of the globe, north, south, east, west. So I created this for children and families and people of all ages to come learn, well, what crops are from north, meaning north continents of Europe, and then east, meaning Asia, and to the south, the continents south of the equator, and then the Americas over here in the west, North, Central, and South America. What we do is grow polyculture of crops, means so many things are growing together. Companion planting is another term for it. So we don't have just rows and rows and rows of one thing. We mix it up. And we do a lot of composting. So we have all this plant material And then we take all that plant material and put it into piles. And then that piles become compost that's returned back to the earth. There's one pile there, and I have other ones as well. We also use the compost from the Compogas Hayashi biodigester from everybody's green waste at the curbside that ends up over here by the airport. There's a big factory, I guess you could call it, where all that goes into and is ground up and it goes in this silo, and then it comes out as finished compost. And we use that compost from the city as well.
I did a radio show on the biodigester. Not this one, but the one in Monterey, because this one wasn't finished yet.
Okay, so you know a bit about it. So they also generates
electricity.
Electricity, yeah.
Well, methane to generate electricity.
There you go.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about, people. That would be an example of regeneration right there.
Okay.
Think of regenerative as recycling and restoring, revitalizing.
So you said you have the four corners of the earth here, and we're standing next to the, what section is this? This is the west?
Okay, so we honor indigenous wisdom. For example, we'd plant the three sisters. So corn and squash and beans are growing together. Okay. And that's a Native American tradition that we're honoring by planting it here.
And when you say together, I'm looking at this, they're not just plots next to each other. The corn and the squash and the beans are integrated all into one, into one plot.
Yeah, they're intermixed. The beans are starting to climb up the corn stalks. So that's where you have the sisters, the three sisters, meaning that they get along as good companions, as good sisters, being sisterly. The squash, actually, I planted first and it grows outward. Then the corn growing upward. And that provides a stalk, a pole for the beans to climb up. They each have their own niche to fill.
This would be how the indigenous of the Americas would have planted their crops?
Yeah, so there's the beans growing up, squash intermixed in between. It's hard to know exactly how they did it, right? So that's kind of why we're experimenting, like, well, let's relearn, you know, what our ancestors did in this lands, learn how they did that. You know, there's ways of growing crops in Hawaii that's different than Mexico. Every culture has different ways of growing.
With the beans and the corn and the squash, how challenging is it going to be at harvest time?
Yeah, it is a little bit of tiptoeing around. I have to be careful that I don't crush things as I walk through each row. It's been said that Native Americans would plant it in a circle and then have a series of circles. And they even would then use a fish underneath in the middle of the circle to bring some nitrogen into the soil. And the beans also bring nitrogen into the soil. There's a term of as below, so above, or vice versa, as above, so below. What that means is whatever you have above ground, you also need to consider what is below the ground to regenerate the soil. So growing the legume, the beans, helps bring nitrogen to the soil to regenerate the soil. Then what I'll do in the wintertime when this crop is done is do the cover cropping and then rotate. Next year we won't do the corn and beans and squash here. We'll rotate it maybe over here where the tomatoes are.
So when you say that you don't dig up the roots, though, do you have volunteers come up the next year?
The only thing that does come back is this red stuff, this amaranth. It's seeds, seed heads. That's an ancient grain, and it repopulates itself every year.
Do you harvest it and use it as grain?
I haven't yet. That's another indigenous or ancient grain practice that we're learning how to do. We do use it in floral displays. You can also eat the leaves, amaranth. Another crop we're learning about is the indigo over here, which is a plant to make blue jeans, indigo, the blue dye. So plants for food, but also plants for medicine, plants for dyes, plants for the pollinators. That's another thing about this ecosystem. You'll see a lot of butterflies flying around, pollinators. So we make a home for them as well out here in the garden.
You're listening to KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm at our global family farm in San Luis Obispo. Trees Lees is teaching me about permaculture, a term coined in the 1970s to describe an integrated, evolving system of perennial or self-perpetuating plant and animal species useful to humans. We just explored the Western Hemisphere section of the farm, and we are now on our way to the European section, but not before we check out the butterfly food.
The milkweed, we do let it also go to seed. Look at that, it looks like cotton in a way. Yeah. Those are all the little seeds, and it's going to spread. And so then you'll see milkweed. So that's food for the butterflies. And then we're sharing the space of the milkweed with a pumpkin patch and a strawberry patch. And then on this side here, the squash has peppers aligning it right next to it. So we're always looking at sharing the space. again, like the three sisters, the niches in ecosystem. That's a term that's used a lot in ecosystem management, is niches. So what space they take up, what sunshine can shine there, but also provide shade and habitat at the same time.
Can we go to another part of the globe?
Yes.
All right, I'll follow you.
We have traveled to Europe now, and we're looking at what's called a guild. In permaculture, you design things together. It's called a guild. We have plum and a plum. And underneath the two fruit trees, we have comfrey. This big leaf plant is a medicinal plant, but it also is a mineral accumulator. The deep roots bring up nutrients and minerals from deep in the soil. We chop and drop all these leaves in the fall. It's like a cover, the soil. We don't really want the sun baking this soil because it'll turn to adobe bricks. We have a heavy clay soil out here. And the comfrey can also be put into our compost pile. You can also take the comfrey and put it in buckets with water. It makes a fertilizer. So again, multi-purpose and multi-cropping and multicultural. It's kind of like we're recreating the Garden of Eden. You know, we have the apple, tree of knowledge, right? The idea, I think, biblically is a beautiful one of the Garden of Eden, is that that's what we want to see more of on the planet. We want to have a harmony and compatibility. To me, that's what permaculture is, a harmonious look at how we create our world. So permaculture is not just for gardening. Permaculture design is also for buildings, like green buildings. It's also looking at generating electricity from the sun, collecting your water. At home, I also do permaculture of collecting the rainwater from my roof. And then we do laundry to landscape. Each time I do laundry, it goes and irrigates the garden. And we have solar panels, that self-sufficiency. I think that's what Garden of Eden was too, is that God provides everything that we need to survive.
It comes into my mind every now and then about when we have extreme weather, which is getting more extreme. And I just think about when the Europeans came, it's like, well, we must have houses. When the natives probably knew how to work with those changes because of their inherent permaculture and understanding the land and having a relationship with the land, having a relationship with the weather, so that their housing was the earth. And so when there was extreme, they probably knew how to deal with it better than we do now.
Yes, brilliant. He's right on the spot there again, that you're looking at your local resources. Indigenous people would call them their allies or their relatives. Beans, even the soil itself, can show you over in the Africa section. We tried to recreate a mud or adobe house. Another term is called cob. So yeah, the whole thing is called natural building techniques. So building with the mud, the clay. You mix in sand and straw, and then you have cement. Next to us is a huge cement building, which has a huge carbon footprint. So that's another thing about permaculture. You're looking at your carbon footprint and you're trying to minimize that, use local resources. Like we have gotten a lot of used lumber here, salvage lumber, freebies, people's leftover carpets I put down to keep the weeds down. The chips are free from the city, dumps them off here. It's a mindset. To me, permaculture is, you want it to permeate your thoughts. I created this to be a community like park for people to go back to the Garden of Eden, to enjoy the nature and to see what is possible and what people could do in their own yard as well.
Can we go see Africa?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, look at this. This is your little dwelling.
Yeah, this would be a dwelling in Africa. They had them more circular than we were able to create here. But we created this from the earth. It is...
Hey, kitty.
The clay soil, sand, and straw. And then you make it into these blobs and slap them together. And so this is a monolith. This is not adobe bricks. It's all melded together. When you bring over some of it, then everyone smears it with their hands. So this was a community project that took us a year, really. So we just dug pits of the clay soil, really heavy clays here, and added the sand and the straw, and layer by layer by layer. Cloudy lives in here.
The kitty.
The Cloudy the kitty. Yeah, he likes to hang out in here. And it's created as a playhouse for kids. And then we've had other groups come in and paint and decorate. It's a fun place to hang out. You could, you know, meditate and pray in here also. And a construction crew did this as a community project to build the roof. If you're building out of natural earth, you have to make sure that it has a good foundation, which is recycled, in our case, concrete. We call it urbancrete, that you just get from urban projects that they're breaking up a sidewalk, for example, and then we've got the concrete that way. And then it has to have a good roof, too, so that it doesn't get wet. At least in Africa, they'll rebuild every few years. Okay. And that's also, you know, like barn raising, it's also a community project where everybody helps each other to build their houses, their dwellings, places. And they lived more, you know, communally. So that's another thing about permaculture. We're really looking to create a more community experience. People come out here and volunteer on Sundays and feel like they're part of it. Like in other countries, that a village.
Yeah.
Creating like a village. It's really tricky actually to grow some of the African crops. We have okra, I've tried. We're not really humid enough here. I've grown some of the squashes successfully. Some of the other things that are from Africa that you don't think of is watermelon and peanuts, sorghum. We had to rearrange this garden area a few times with the chicken coop in mind. There again, for self-reliance or subsistence living. I did spend some volunteer time in Africa, Liberia, West Africa, and people would have their own little chickens running around, and everybody would grow some green vegetables to throw into a pot with the chicken for a stew. Yeah, that's what you want to look at, is what can you grow to eat, including animals, and what can you grow for your herbs and for your teas. And ideally, this African plot would have a lot more in it than it does now. We could grow more grains from Africa. They're not only sorghum is from Africa, but so is teff that they use in Ethiopian cooking. And we have an Ethiopian restaurant here in town. We've gotten food from them for our potluck.
What's interesting about coming to the African section is our own history. All of the things that you have here, watermelon, peanuts, sorghum, okra, they're all staples of the African-American Southern diet.
Right. So that's what they did, is they brought them over with them from Africa and then cultivated them in the South. Yeah.
This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm learning about permaculture at our Global Family Farm in San Luis Obispo. This is a consciously designed landscape which mimics the patterns and relationships found in nature while yielding an abundance of food, fiber, and energy for the provisions of local needs. And nearing the end of the tour, we discuss the beginnings of the project. So that's your hand-drawn design of this garden that you have. How long ago did you start this project?
2014.
How long did it take you to come up with this design?
We had permaculture design course. To get certified in permaculture, you have to design something. So I got a group of four women, and each of them had some ideas for each of the four quadrants. And then I took those ideas and kept developing them further.
What percentage of this original concept has come to fruition?
Well, the one thing that's come to fruition is that there's plants everywhere. I don't have all the many as I would like from Africa, for example, or Asia. We're in the Asia section now. There's a plethora. There's so many varieties of different Asian greens that I'm still trying to source seeds for. In Asia, things that we don't think of coming from Asia do, like cilantro. It's called Chinese parsley. Cucumbers, that's also from Asia. Basil is from Asia. There's this Japanese pepper, the shishito. That's where citrus originally came from, is China. And peaches and apricots and plums.
Have you read the book 1491 and 1493 by Charles Mann?
No.
1491 is about the ecosystem of the world before the Columbian Exchange, and 1493 is about how the ecosystem of the world changed during and after the Columbian Exchange. It blew my mind. It's a book that you should read. Well, I'll just say one thing. 70% of North America's flora and fauna has been eradicated off the earth.
There you go. This pattern of colonialism keeps repeating itself. I mean, that's another thing about permaculture, is we look at decolonizing your brain and your thoughts and your words and your actions, and have reciprocity in thinking again, like, well, what came before? Let's honor indigenous wisdom and not eradicate it. And it's so unfortunate that our society is not organized by these ethics. The three ethics is really what they call the triple bottom line. Earth would be the environment, and people care is social justice, and future care is equity, environment, and ecology. The history of agriculture in the United States, it came and logged and cut down trees all in the Midwest to plant corn and destroy waterways, and then you get things like drought and the Dust Bowl. Permaculture wants to reverse that, so we're always looking at how can we restore this land, replant with trees, replant in the Garden of Eden so that everybody can thrive. A little natural building house surrounded by trees that help shelter it and buffer it and waterways and gardens. And so that's what I'm trying to create here.
Even if it doesn't look like what you drew 11 years ago, you've got an amazing thing going on here.
Thank you very much. Cuesta College has a class called Plants and People, and they're going to come out here for a tour. I come, yeah, that's exactly what this garden is people and plants, plants and people. I want to see more of this, more permaculture, homesteading, more people growing what they can of some foods in their own backyards, and to have our farms look more like gardens, and then have your gardens look more like farms, have edible landscaping. So our future has to be regenerative. We can't just extract. That's the kind of society we have, especially in America, taking out, and you have to give back. And that's the society that we'd like to see in the future, and have more people have that frame of mind.
Our future needs to be regenerative, our farms to look more like gardens, and our gardens to look more like farms. Isn't that a wonderful vision of creation? And as trees put it, bring back the Garden of Eden right where we are, as if the Central Coast wasn't already perfect enough. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.